How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Well, we're right in the middle of July, and our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is from an Issues Etc. regular guest and one of our listeners' favorites, Dr. Ken Sherb. The book is called The Christian's Mission. It walks through, in 9 parts, how it is we receive from God, and the emphasis in this book really is on how God gives and we receive the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the love, and then in our Christian vocations, we become conduits of that same grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love. It's called The Christian's Mission from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call and order The Christian's Mission from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission. For the next few minutes, Bobby Ross Jr. joins us to talk about media coverage of 2 stories. We are accustomed to our sports celebrities waxing spiritual, making reference to God sometimes. Usually it's in a very ordinary way. They win or they lose a game. They have a big career milestone. They say something about God, something about their religious faith. Well, recently there's a tragic story of a man trying to catch a ball at a Rangers game. He fell, and very shortly later he died. And the man who threw the ball to him, Josh Hamilton, all-star for the Rangers, had a reaction, said some things about God in the press, and the media covered it. We'll see how they covered it, along with the story about Illinois' new civil union law, Catholic Charities, and adoption. Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You were there the other night at Rangers Stadium when this happened. Tell us the story and answer the question. Is there a religious angle to this story?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was there with my family. I was on vacation last week, and we found some cheap seats on a, I think it was a Tuesday night, up in the third deck behind home plate. And I think I was munching on kettle corn and drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper and just watching the game in the 100-degree heat, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a foul ball hit down the left field line, and you see it kind of ricochet back to Hamilton, and he just kind of turns behind him about 20 feet and I guess sees a little boy and his dad and tosses a baseball to him, you know, as a memento souvenir kind of thing. And all of a sudden you see the father reaching out for the ball, and then he just kind of plummets head first behind the out-of-town scoreboard and the home run fence, and the whole crowd just gasped. And you know, they didn't say anything at the ballpark, so people just had no idea whether the guy was okay. We heard ambulance sirens, and then after the game, of course, the news came that he had died on the way to the hospital, which was a big shock. But I think, as far as your question on the faith angle and Josh Hamilton, he's the reigning American League Most Valuable Player and has a pretty high-profile story about how he hit rock bottom with drugs and alcohol, and really feels like his evangelical Christian faith and Jesus Christ have been what have kind of helped him dig out of all of that. So when this happened, some people were like, you've got a drug and a guy who's had all these problems with drugs and alcohol, will something this traumatic and some little innocent incident like this just cause him all of a sudden to go back off the deep end? And other people, you know, people who followed him, said no, it's going to be the opposite. He has his faith here, and that's what he's going to rely on to get through this. So I would say that definitely there's a faith angle there as far as is kind of seeing how he does handle this situation that is just so traumatic for him and Ranger fans, and you know, obviously this family, and how he comes out of that.
What has Hamilton said in the press, and how has the press covered it?
Well, the first thing he said, in my understanding, is that, you know, he's a guy who has been pretty open about his faith, but in this situation wasn't the first one to bring that up, and I think maybe it's a matter of him it being something so close and personal to him that he didn't want to just come out with a cliche kind of statement. But I think with maybe some questions, you know, the first thing I saw him say is, I can't imagine what they're going through. I'm praying for them. And, you know, one statement that stood out to me was when he said, you know, I know that God has a plan. You don't always know what that plan is when those things happen, but you will. And I think some people, particularly people who share Josh's faith background, understand that notion of God having a bigger plan. Whether or not you agree with, you know, God didn't push the guy over the edge and cause him to die, but maybe there's a bigger plan there. So that was the first thing Josh said. And then I think he was a little more eloquent or made a little more sense in a later statement I read. This is from the New York Post. He said, this is life. There is tragedy in life. There are things that happen that you have no control over and don't understand and will never understand until you are standing there in front of your maker, which to me is him saying basically God knows why this happened, and those of us here on earth probably will never understand why something like that happens in just a split second.
You say that the best press coverage of the religious angle of this story came not from the mainstream media so much, but from MajorLeagueBaseball.com's story written by T.R. Sullivan. Why was what he had to write better than the rest?
Well, I think he was just more specific. Some of the secular press reports that I read, the mainstream reports, you know, would mention Josh's religious faith, or Josh, you know, some were even as specific to say his Christian faith, but they didn't. They kind of, that quote about God has a plan and some of the more specific things he said of a religious nature didn't make their way into press. And the other thing I noticed was that I think some of the coverage mentioned the Rangers as a team had a meeting or gotten together to discuss this and kind of deal with this tragedy before getting back on the field, whereas the MLB.com report, you know, basically said the Rangers held a team prayer meeting, which obviously there's a difference between just a normal meeting and a meeting where you've got a team full of baseball players praying.
Another story I wanted to discuss with you, Bobby, was, of course, this is all over the place. Illinois refuses funding for Catholic Charities because of Catholic Charities' stance on same-sex civil unions and on cohabiting couples and adoption and foster care.
Right.
You say for the most part, though, the media was all warm and fuzzy in covering Illinois' legal change here. What do you mean by that?
Well, and that was, but in particular, I had said that about a story that NPR did, where they had a couple of examples. You know, they were talking about lush, flower-filled Millennium Park in Chicago and music and same-sex families celebrating this change, and then the story kind of turns darker, and suddenly they're focusing on Catholic Charities and their unwillingness to consider handling foster care or adoption cases for same-sex partners. And my frustration was it felt like they were choosing one side of the story and then putting the other side in not as fair a light and not giving them as good an opportunity to kind of explain their religious motivations and where they were coming from on that issue.
Do you think it's simply assumed in the press that Catholic Charities has these kind of narrow, perhaps, I mean, if we could even use the word with regard to Catholic Charities, a kind of a sectarian, narrow moralist view that it's trying to impose on the legal system of adoption and foster care?
I think so, and I think for a lot of people in the press who would tend to lean more in their personal beliefs and their personal worldview, more of a liberal or left position, that they would see it as cut and dried. If you're Catholic Charities and you want to benefit from public funding, then you need to go along with what the state law has decided in putting civil unions on an equal level with traditional heterosexual married couples.
What I've seen, and I think you noted as well in your coverage of this on getreligion.org, is that some very basic simple questions seem unanswered in the press, like, as you say, what exactly does the Illinois law that agencies must obey say? Where,
right.
Has that been answered?
And not to my satisfaction, and honestly, I haven't read every, you know, there's the Chicago Tribune and some of the local press have written a lot on this, and there's a chance I've just missed it. But, you know, some of the questions seem to be, you know, the funding is one question, but I know for a lot of faith-based organizations like Catholic Charities, it even goes beyond the question of can you not allow your services to be used by same-sex couples if you receive public funding. It's also the question of does the law allow you to do that even if you don't receive public funding, or are you violating the law, and are you going to have to shut down even if it's totally your church money and your own religious organization providing the funds? Seems to be an unanswered question.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Bobby Ross Jr., Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Talk more about the media coverage of the Illinois new civil union law, Catholic Charities, and adoption. Discuss an opinion piece that he found in the Wall Street Journal from an expert on religious freedom who says, you know, Catholic Charities might have a point here. After our conversation with Bobby Ross Jr., Pastor Matt Harrison will join us. It was 1 year ago yesterday that he was elected in the 64th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to get his thoughts on 1 year as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, president-elect of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And then we'll be playing his acceptance speech from that 64th Regular Convention to round off today's Issues Etc. with Pastor Matt Harrison. I'm Todd Wilkin. More with Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org, media coverage of the Illinois law with same-sex civil unions and adoption and Catholic Charities.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
How many Bible studies have companion Issues Etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Illinois pharmacists can practice with a clear conscience.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
6 years ago, the governor of Illinois issued a ruling that required pharmacies to fill prescriptions for emergency contraceptives, quote, without making moral judgments. Since then, 2 pro-life pharmacists have fought an extensive legal battle to save their careers and overturn the harmful rule. Recently, a circuit court ruled in their favor, a decision the pharmacist's lawyer called a very good thing, noting, the judge's decision makes clear that people don't have to give up their religion or check their conscience at the door to enter the healthcare profession.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bobby Ross Jr. is our guest from GetReligion.org, talking about media coverage of Illinois' new civil union law, Catholic Charities, foster care, and adoption. Bobby, you say you also found a June 30th opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal from an expert in religious freedom. What did this expert have to say, and how does it pertain to the issue of Catholic charities, adoption, and foster care?
Well, his basic point was that, these organizations like Catholic Charities are playing a big role in a lot of places as far as helping make sure that, children who needed have foster care and playing a role in getting children adopted, and that if suddenly you tell them they can't keep doing that and hold true to their religious beliefs, suddenly you've got the state without Catholic Charities helping them. In most states, foster care is a system that is just rife with problems already, and you've got a lot of kids who don't have homes and a lot of kids who need families. And for the state to try to do that on its own and cast out a lot of these organizations like Catholic Charities or some of the other evangelical organizations, suddenly you've got a bigger mess than if you just said this. If you just gave them an exemption and said there's plenty of places for a same-sex couple, if they want to adopt, to go besides Catholic Charities. But if we just suddenly kick Catholic Charities out of here, we're creating a bigger problem than if we acknowledge the big role and the positive role that they're playing in making sure that kids have homes.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, Bobby, have you seen any coverage of that very problem, asking the question, what happens now in Illinois, Washington, D.C., and other places in the country where Catholic Charities has been forced out of foster and adoption care services?
I haven't seen a lot of good coverage, and probably not enough coverage that I'm satisfied with. I think that the Chicago Tribune has done a few, as I recall, shorter kind of pieces of different, more liberal-leaning social organizations saying that they'd be willing to step in and try to help do what Catholic Charities has done to this point.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks a lot for having me.